go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm Mo. We're 2 seconds into the show, and immediately, Addy has farted.
No, that was my dog.
Oh. Immediately, your dog has farted.
Yeah, yeah.
We must be at your house recording a show.
We must. We must. Well, actually, the farting happens all year round.
You don't just save it for me.
No. I mean, we try, but we don't. Some of it gets away.
What the hell do you feed this animal?
You know what? Actually, he's just moved on to his, now that he's over seven, so he's moved on to his senior kibble. So he's just adjusting to that. And
I'm not adjusting.
You are, no, neither is he, actually, from what I can tell.
We better get to some wrestling real quick.
Yeah, well, you know what? We just talked about this week in wrestling, actually, because we just talked about the shits. So,
no, that's not true.
No, for wrestling action, professional bell-to-bell action was probably the best it's been in, I would say, 2 years.
Yeah, this was, as far as wrestling action this week, I mean, that's what we always talked about when the WWE expanded its programming to 3-hour Raw and added main event and all this different stuff was, okay, they're going to have to fill the time now with better, longer wrestling matches.
Yeah.
And we saw it this week. We, you know, the Cesaro-Kingston match I've been raving about.
On main event.
You know,
Breaks.
It was a total of, I think, 23 minutes through the breaks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a really good angle afterwards, a good promo by Kofi, and then a backstage segment as well. So it was very good. Daniel Bryan, Ryback was good on SmackDown.
That was great. Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was great, but it so far exceeded my expectations.
Well, that's it.
And you know what exceeded my expectations? More so that I thought made it what I would call great, was Ryback's promo. That, to me, was the most...
very simple.
But it was the most... But it was simple, but it was the most unproduced promo he's done. I believed him. He was not talking like this. Like, he actually walked around and he talked. I'm thinking, Ryback's doing a really good job. And then they cut it, so he didn't talk too long.
No, it wasn't very long. Great. It was very simple. It was to the point. It was well done. Like I say, that match was good. Ambrose and Kane had a good match.
Let's talk. We haven't talked since Ambrose and Taker.
No.
Loved Ambrose and Taker.
Ambrose and Taker was very, very good. I mean, the post angle as well. I mean, it really has set it up, so there's almost no way. If they keep the Shield as a threesome, undefeated, the entire year, and it's that undefeated streak, because, I mean, Ambrose lost, obviously, to the Hell's Gate against Taker 1-1, that doesn't matter, we're talking about
as a unit,
if we keep that undefeated and beating all the main eventers, and then you get Taker and two people, and get, you know, in his last match, or even if it's Taker against all three of them, it doesn't matter.
Here's what it is, and this is what I like.
But either way, it's great, it's one streak ending.
This is where
people
I go with Mania.
They could beat him.
This is where Addy goes at Mania. So, mark it down right now that this will not happen.
No.
I mean, they've already stolen the tag titles from both of them.
Yeah.
The Shield win the tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Keep the tag titles. All at WrestleMania. And it's all three of the Shields in a free... Because Shield's doing the Freebird thing, let's just say, for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Or two or three, right? The triad, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
Then it becomes all three against the Brothers of Destruction at WrestleMania. And the angle is, we can pin Kane and break your streak.
Exactly.
Love that. I love the fact that Undertaker doesn't have to be involved in the fall when his streak is gone. That's a new twist. I mean, they didn't play that up when it was the Nathan Jones bullshit.
It didn't matter at the time they were running the streak as a big deal yet.
No, not as a huge deal. But now, that's the thing. It's the same as when Punk said, a different twist. Punk going, I can get you disqualified or I can get you counted out and I win. That's a different twist. This is now another.
Well, like when it was Team Hell No and Brothers of Destruction group there with Daniel Bryan, got the end of them.
Uh-huh.
Right? And Taker lost the match, though. So, I mean.
Exactly. They have things to play on.
Doing this. So, I mean, if you do this, this is, if they keep it and they set it up, they completely destroyed the guy. Yeah. A great angle. It's perfect. You just have to not fuck it up.
You know, this is the part that, I don't think pisses me off.
Jesus Christ, you got to stop beating him.
Call me Addy. The thing that pisses me off about this is the Shield, like, the same writing team writes the whole show. So, you all right?
I'm dying from your dog.
Don't eat him.
Go on, what are you saying? I'm paying attention.
This whole writing team, the writing team does the whole show. How can they get the Shield so right and everything else so wrong? I don't understand.
Well, I don't know that everything else is so wrong.
Most shit.
Some stuff, definitely.
What other act do you really like right now?
Besides the Shield?
Yeah, and I'm into Kofi Kingston right now.
Yeah, you have Kofi right now. I mean,
I have faith that will last about 2 weeks, but still.
Well, you know what? Now that he's champion, he's winning. Now he's just keep him winning.
It's not that he's winning. It's that they've got the little father. This is like a real fight UFC type story build, and yeah. I like it.
But it's little things. Like when Three Man Band came out to confront the Shield, I love it. No, it said little things.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said minuscule things.
No, that's different. It's like when the Three Man Band came out, DMB comes out to it. It's like it seems stupid, but back in the Attitude Era, people would come. If they had an issue with somebody else, they would do that. Like, yes, they're jobbers, but they have a sense of pride, and it's heels versus heels, so it's just logical that somebody wouldn't take that shit and lay down. They would get up, and that's why they're there.
Yeah.
Nobody ever did better. I mean, WCW, like the 96, 97, nobody did better having heels versus heels, faces versus faces, WCW. That was one of the things that put them ahead of WWE.
The reasons why I preferred them at
the time, for a little while.
And it was one of the things that brought three-way dances into the mainstream.
Yeah.
When you talk about Raven, DDP, Benoit, right? Exactly. They didn't like each other, all three of them, but then they had, so then finally it just came to that, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, little things like that I like. Like you say, the great Russell. My favorite match of the year now in WWE, it was, even more in the Cesaro Kingston match. I mean, I thought Cody Rhodes versus Randy Orton. Was awesome. It was a 4.5-star match. Because at some point in time, they made you believe, oh shit, he's countered everything and hitting his own moves, everything Orton's going to do.
Yeah.
Is he actually going to go over? Is he going to get a new push? It actually made me think, like it became so believable, the crowd believed it too.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It was good storytelling.
It was.
And Kingston Ziggler also is very good. So just like for on-screen action.
For wrestling.
Great week. And then you get over in TNA. They did a great thing with Chris
Matt
Saban.
Morgan and Sting. Oh.
No. Saban.
Yeah. Hail Saban.
Comeback. The videos they were doing beforehand, the video they did last week, the post match interview. He looked really good, very charismatic. He looked bigger in the ring, but not too big. So, he looked good. I love what they did with him. They brought back.
The thing I liked about him being bigger
is
that part of his promo package was him working out. That's why he's
exactly.
bigger.
That's
why he's bigger.
But
right?
He doesn't look jacked. He just looks like he's in better, like
bigger.
He's bigger.
Yeah.
Like the guy who's at his peak physical condition.
Yeah.
You know,
Petey Williams, I thought that was what they should have done with Petey, but I thought that's what they should have done with Petey Williams.
Probably.
You know.
But you know what? I mean, I think you put the belt on Saban here. Coming up there. But I mean, you got Petey Williams, you got Saban.
Kenny King's really disappointed me, actually.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, I thought he's winning the thing. I thought, great, this is what they... it hasn't done it.
But you've added back three guys from the past. You added back Dutt and
Saban and Williams.
You could add in Shelley and Roderick Strong.
Well, Shelley's pretty doing well in Japan.
Yeah, he is. But you could add in Shelley and Roderick Strong
I always loved
Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
You can add these guys back in and give some more depth, but I would love to see some new stars. There's a lot of people out there working for Shikara, working for Dragon Gate USA, working...
Kind of where I'm at now.
That's what they need to do.
I'd rather see new.
They've had some influx of people they brought back, and it's increased the depth, but they need to bring in some more.
That's Frankie.
The stuff they did with...
Kazarian, isn't it?
Depth?
The influx capacitor?
Influx. But the... flux capacitor.
Oh.
But that was great. Now you get on to the Sting versus Hogan... Or Sting versus Morgan. We had a guy who was 54. 54! Beat a guy who's like 36.
You know, 36,
he's like in his prime.
Yeah.
54!
Can you imagine being 36?
Yeah. Fuck. He's at some point in time, I understand he's more over. I understand people be more interested in seeing him, but there comes a point in time where you have to say, it doesn't matter because he's 54.
What's your name is?
Yeah, you have to put the guy who's younger down and take that loss to build it up.
I agree with you that way, if you're looking that way, but the thing I look at now is kind of the bigger picture, and I think that, and again, with, and I don't know, I'll preface this with saying I'm not disagreeing with your point with it, but at some point you got to do Bully Ray and Sting, the way that the story is played out, because Sting is the guy that blah, 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 and this is how he gets his redemption in Hogan's eyes, is by beating him, and he doesn't.
The way that it does, though, you know what, yes, storyline-wise, but when you saw Sting in that match, Sting doesn't look like he's worked out in over a year.
I agree with that part, and that's like, where I said, I'm not saying that you're wrong, I'm just saying from a whole, the way that this story is, the way that that Matt Conway and all the other motherfuckers in TNA have written this story, because that's what they've done. Yeah. They've written this wonderful story, and quite frankly, writing-wise, like pen to paper, this is a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm.
But you actually have to go out and execute it, and like you said, part of it is that you can't have a 54-year-old executing the lead role of what probably should be a 36-year-old, right?
Yeah, exactly. One thing is that he's too old, you know. And
look at me, look at him.
Future. Well, yeah, so that's
he's
other
so
thing.
Old.
Look at him. He couldn't put on the Scorpion Deathlock anymore. He couldn't bend over.
He just sat on the fuck.
He just sat on him and had his legs crossed, and it didn't even look real or look like it hurt. It looked like nothing. It was just so phony looking because he's not even in good enough shape that he could put on that move, which is not the most complicated move.
No, that's what got me is like, okay, like this is not difficult.
Again, you look at the guys that WWE has right now, and you're looking at Ryback, Cena, Ziggler, these guys. They don't have 50-year-olds in their main events. Alberto Del Rio, like they, you know, in their upper mid card.
Who was
really
the last guy? I mean, look at Taker. Taker comes in once a year.
Yeah, it doesn't
like
count. I don't
five
count
times a year. No, I mean, that's what I mean. But that's your 50-year-old, right?
Yeah,
is a guy that comes in. I mean, and even Hunter.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like that's the thing. Is
he's like 43 or something?
They
like,
don't have that. Though.
They don't have that. No.
And their guys
are, as much as we talked about how they're fucking up developmental and where's the young talent.
They're not fucking up developmental.
Well, not anymore.
No.
But that's the thing is they literally do have their main event talent, the people they put in place now, whether they're good or not, or as good as they need to be, we don't know. I got to like Ryback, but we do know that at least they're younger.
I think we know.
Well, probably with Ryback. That's the other thing with Ryback. If he turns heel net, like he lost the pay-per-view.
Well, he is heel.
But let me finish.
Okay.
He loses the pay-per-view after pay-per-view after pay-per-view. Then he turns heel.
Mm-hmm.
If he loses again, I think he's fucked. So he's got to go over on Cena, but I don't see him going over on Cena. I don't think that's good for
by
Cena
DQ.
Either. I don't think it's good for Cena's character.
So does he win by DQ?
At Extreme Rules main event.
Sure. Oh, Extreme, but it's just a regular match.
Oh, so, yeah, so far, but we still got like 3 weeks, don't we?
Two, I think, maybe. Two Raws, yeah.
Yeah.
Ladder match for the three-way dance. That kind of got my interest. I like ladder matches, so I thought, okay, well, yeah, and then Dolph Ziggler, I mean. Throwing like a motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, why not, right? Bouncing around. So I thought, I heard a ladder match, I was like,
logically, why would Del Rio pick it? But considering I've never seen him win in a ladder match.
Well, I was going to say, then he lost to Christian in a ladder match,
yeah,
right? That was actually my first thought, was it?
I'm thinking submission match, you know.
Yeah,
where
exactly.
Go, right?
No, my first thought was as soon as he announced it, I thought, okay, you lost to Christian in that, and Ziggler won a Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yeah.
And so did Swagger.
Yeah.
So.
Why would
what?
You do that? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
No, and that's part of the problem. I mean, the ladder match itself is a monkey spot fest will be entertaining.
Yeah.
But again, from a whole, like, what? Are you a retard?
Yeah.
You're the babyface I'm supposed to cheer against two heels, and you're fucking stupid?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
and honestly, it did not take me more than 30 seconds to realize Swagger won a ladder match, Ziggler won a ladder match, Del Rio lost to Christian. I didn't even know if he never won. I just Del Rio lost to Christian was pretty.
Yeah.
So that boom, boom, boom. I mean, okay, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Because I'm not you. I didn't live these moments, and I thought that.
Yeah.
So, retard. Come on now. And that was before Del Rio. Maybe Del Rio was the. Del Rio thought? He thought. You know why he did? I'm sorry. I apologize to Alberto Del Rio. I didn't realize this because again, I was thinking very short sighted. Del Rio realized that it was International Wish Day, so he wanted to be retarded, and I missed that, and I apologize to Alberto Del Rio and the rest of the Mexicans.
Yeah. Oh my God!
What?
ABBIE
at WeTalkWrestling.com.
Anyway. Have another beer. This is the first time I've been drinking some beer. It's fucking hot in your house. That's why.
It's hot.
But, okay, so
I'm doing the show with my shirt off.
Let's say we have Ryback at the DQ finish or whatever.
Do I always do my show with the shirt off?
If we go two to three paper, if we do, say, three pay-per-views in a row, does Ryback win one of them, or does he never win one? And if he doesn't win one, where does the heel who could never win as a babyface and can't win as a heel go?
Okay, here's the thing.
He's ruined.
Fuck him. No. Part of this whole problem, okay, and it really is a catch-22 with it all, is that they've done this, and that Ryback is either someone they're going to... I mean, they're not in a position... The only way that Cena wins is if Ryback is another one-man gang. Right? So to Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
Right? Or a boss man. Yeah. We'll talk about in a bit. But, I mean, that's it, because if they really want to position Ryback as a player, he's got to win here.
Yeah.
And they could have a controversial finish in this. But you're right. They got to do... Isn't the next pay-per-view called, like, Payback?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So, okay, Ryback wins, Cena needs Payback. They just had, a 400-day champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so...
Whole thing of Cena was 2012 was so bad, so 2013 is
yeah. Well, but that's fine. He gets glory at WrestleMania. Blah blah blah. But get glory and hold it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Keep that whole shit alive.
So
right, keep the deal. So you got to beat Ryback and beat. But then okay, then who's next?
Exactly.
A and B, what do you do with Ryback? Yeah. Right. So it's just
who's next? I imagine is Mark Henry still. The way they set it up. But nevertheless, I just think...
It should have been fucking Mark Henry to begin with.
It should have been.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But...
Again, it would have been okay to turn Ryback heel, but then
yes.
Have him win a little bit.
Exactly.
So that he doesn't...
Yeah, have him beat Sheamus for fucking
sake,
right?
Yeah.
Plow through Sheamus. Hell, if you can do it, plow through fucking Randy Orton for a bit.
Yeah,
right?
Fine.
And do that at
plow through Kelly Kelly.
Well, I mean, he's going to do something original. fuck me. But, speaking of Kelly, what about WrestleMania? They're talking about, getting a million buys.
Yeah.
But, not quite.
Well, the financials came in, and they're not very good.
They're not. It's the highest grossing WrestleMania of all time, of course.
Yeah.
Here's what happened, though, is that profit-wise, say highest grossing, right? Mm-hmm. Profits net. No.
No,
$3 million.
$3 million for the quarter. $15 million for the same quarter.
And here's, as much as I, as a fan, this is where I'm torn. As a fan, love it.
Mm-hmm.
As a business of it, I can understand the business end of it because that's what we're all in it for, is making money. Brock and Rock just ain't worth it. They're not bottom line worth it.
I think Brock is probably more worth it in the right situation than Rock.
Sure, but what they did, and this is what we talked about, the build.
Yeah, it doesn't matter unless the build is perfect. If the build was perfect,
yes,
it would have been worth
yes.
it.
Yes, but what happened, though, that's the thing, and they called it, what do they call it, like special guest costs or celebrity costs
bullshit. Yeah,
no, but they weren't worth it.
No, they
for the
worth
bottom
it.
Line, they weren't worth it.
No.
And not to say they can't be
but
worth
here's
it.
Here's the thing.
Worked well.
Now,
and this is where the creative, we talked about going in, the creative was a motherfuck.
Yeah.
That's what killed them.
But you say that they're not worth it. Okay, you say they weren't worth it. How much are...
They are worth it.
How much would they have done without the two of them? Would it have been 800,000? How much would it have offset the cost and still be more profitable, perhaps? But
yes. And that's the point.
But what about house shows? Would they be enough? Right now they're doing 3-1 ratings for the 3 hours. If Rock had never shown up and Brock never shown up,
yeah.
Would they be doing a 2.8, 2.9? Like, those are the little things that it's you can't really
I understand that point. And I do. I don't think from a whole cost perspective of it, if you tell me in the quarter you made $3 million,
yeah.
And Rock and Brock probably cost you, what, 8?
Well, yes.
You know?
But that's the other thing is, though, is
they,
yes,
could
they
you make
worth
a,
it.
Okay, so
but,
could you make 11?
Their DVD sales are down because DVD is a dying market.
Well, their baby butt wipe sales are down, too.
As well, yeah. And DVDs.
DVDs.
Go listen to that song, Baby Butt Wipe DVDs. Just Google it, folks, if you haven't heard it. Trust me.
Dusty Rhodes, tremendous.
Tremendous.
Give me on a promo show soon.
Yeah.
What
the fuck was I going to say? But also,
house shows, the lead up, the merchandise, all that stuff, right?
No, it was the movie, right? That cost them a lot. This dead person, or whatever. Dead Man Down, yeah.
No, I don't think that. No, that didn't boost.
Well, it lost money.
It did, but if you look year over year into that, it's all parts of the whole.
So
to me, Rock and Brock
startup of this fucking network.
Network was a motherfucking bullshit. Was the same cost last year. Like none of that stuff really changed too much. To me, again.
But it's still eating up their costs. And
it's eating up their
reserves, their financial reserves.
It ate up their costs last year. I mean, to me, is it, and I know it's done, is it like Rock and Brock was it, but creative can't follow.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. But that to me is what I took out of these financials, is that, yeah, they made $3 million. Without Rock and Brock, they could have made, whatever, say 11. Mm-hmm. But it's a matter of, like you said, Woodhouse shows and stuff, because that's the short-term, heroin fix.
Yeah.
They got him in, but the fact is it creative sucked my dick.
But the other thing
we talked
about the financials. Their financials in North America were pretty good. Shows and the pay-per-view buys,
yes,
and the sales. It's overseas that they just...
Europe was awful.
Right?
But I mean,
so that's the other thing, right? So, and that's the source, actually, last couple of years, it's been the other way.
Well, that was when business is down, they used to go to Europe, right?
And Rock was supposed to be really strong overseas.
Well, he was originally. He was, and again...
Brock, not so much, but overseas,
thing is, people want to see these guys fight Rock and Brock.
Yeah.
Like, not each other, well, maybe each other, but individually even.
Yeah.
But they did nothing. I mean, like, we talked about it going in. We talked about how we were excited in July after Raw 1000. We sat there and talked about how Raw 1000, I was higher on it than you were higher on it, overall show, because it was a nostalgia show, but I said what it did announce was the Royal Rumble, was The Rock got the Royal Rumble. We just played it out. Punk goes, Rock wins, Rock Cena 2 for the title, bigger than the first one. That was the plan. On paper, that looked great. It did not execute because when they got past the Rumble and past the Elimination Chamber when they had the rematch, fuck, Rock was barely on TV. We talked about it at the time when he said, and you were more critical than I was in terms of...
He needed to be there.
He needed to be there. He needed to do this. He needed to, and I said, well, this is already paid for itself. And that was my thought. And that was WWE's thought, is that he already paid for himself. And they kind of probably did when you look at the actual buys. But what you needed from looking at these numbers was... You needed the all-time buy rate to make a decent amount of money. And the thing is that that's fine. You can do that. What are you going to do next year?
Well, yeah.
And what are you going to do for Q3?
Especially if Brock isn't back. But, it comes down to, we talked about the three main events. In that night, the Undertaker's the most over character, so that match they're into. We talked about the three builds. What was the best build of the three main events? Brock, Triple H, Rock, Cena, or Undertaker, Punk. I think the best was Triple H and Brock, and that wasn't a particularly good build.
Yeah.
Which really says to you what the other two were.
Exactly.
That's the best of the three, and I'd give that as a build like a 5.5,
yeah, you're right.
In that range,
yeah.
And that really talks to you. Like, if it had been, I understand, and Cena needed to be there saying, I need redemption, and Rock needed to, but there had to be, like,
something
of, I'm going to carry you, like, something of a sense of tension, a sense of...
Yeah.
It's like, I think back to the great Rashawn Evans, John Jones. These are two guys. They're beside each other doing an interview, right beside each other, closer than you and I are right now. And they're talking about it, and they're saying shit about each other right there.
Yeah.
And you can see that they're not fighting, but you can see they just can't wait for that moment.
Yeah.
That tension was there.
It's like a divorce court,
Yes, they're in the room, and they're being... They're being polite to each other. They're saying,
they're trying to be as politically correct as possible,
they can,
right? Yeah,
exactly. I disagree with your point of view. I remember it a different way.
Here is
but
my
you can
thought
feel
on that.
That these guys got to fucking fight.
Fucking hate you, you stupid
Yeah, and that's what The Rock and Cena was lacking. It lacked that, you know what, come for me. It lacked that, the locker room holding them back,
and here's
feeling
the, and
that
here's
it needed.
And here's the sad point part to me, and this is really what I don't say bumps me out or gets me down, but this part, for lack of better words, pisses me off. Is it like we both sit here and people talk? I get, you know, the occasional tweet or email like, "Well, could you say something positive?"
Yeah,
and I would absolutely love to, but and we tried to, we did Bro Norton. We talked about Kofi and
Cesaro. Chris Sabin was positive.
Sabin and some Hail Sabin, but we talked about but. Some of this stuff with the numbers and
the,
whatnot,
the younger main eventers is positive.
It is, but I mean, let's just talk about the numbers and the WrestleMania and the build and all
that
stuff.
Reality.
Exactly. Yeah. Is it like the numbers don't lie, and that's just what it is? I mean, we talked about, and I don't want to sit here. And, hell, the best thing I would love to tell you is that, you know, I was completely wrong. It was 180 degrees wrong. I said this was going to suck going in, and da 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 da, and it was awesome, but it wasn't. And I hate to say I told you so, and I don't want to say I told you so, and I'm not going to say I told you so, but, like, we knew and we did, and, like, there's basic principles of life and business, and especially the professional wrestling business, and WWF took them for granted. As I said, I was really high in July.
Yeah, and I was saying...
I was also up on the wrestling business, but yeah. I was really high in July. And thought this was going to be great. In my head, I saw this playing out. Perfectly.
Yeah.
I didn't go into the minuscule raw by raw details. I didn't micromanage it.
No, but I mean, I always said to you, the undercard needs to be good too, and you're like, it doesn't matter. Top three matches.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It didn't matter for the
you're
virus.
Right, if they're being good.
Mm-hmm.
But when they're not good, the undercard, if they'd have been better, would have helped some.
Of course it would. And I think that was my point. Is yes, it would help, but from the buy rate perspective, what Dean Ambrose says doesn't buy another real pay per view. Right, what The Undertaker says, or what CM Punk says, or what John Cena would have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I mean, we disagreed on kind of business a lot, but not on the show. I mean, I would have loved it, and WrestleMania played itself out that it was like you were higher on it than I was leaving it, and it was terribly high, but.
I enjoyed it more than you did.
Dean Ambrose, to me, has been like. The star of wrestling for probably in WWE. My dream right now, and I used to talk about, like, will Vader fight Yokozuna back in, 1993, or will Hogan fight Flair?
Yeah.
No, I want to see Austin Aries fight Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I want to see.
Yeah,
right
that's
now,
true. It's
you
true.
Know?
It's true. No. Well, all right. Let's, I think we've said everything we need to say about Ryback. WWE TNA this week. I think that pretty much covers it. Unless you have any other points,
I got a couple of things.
We got so much shit to get to, and I do want to get to something more positive. We have a guest we're going to have on, a very positive guy.
Positively, we are. Yeah. Pre-show. Apparently, going to Yahoo. YouTube contract ended. Now everything's going to Yahoo.
Yeah, we don't know the financials. Probably
don't know
the
financials. I don't know anything about Yahoo. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I've gone to YouTube and I've been on the YouTube to watch the videos. I don't watch any videos or nothing. They've done anything like on a Yahoo.
Well, I mean, it's funny because I think there's a perspective from certain people that Yahoo's dead because everybody Googles, and the Yahoo search engine is essentially dead. Everybody Googles.
I do
Yahoo
Fantasy Sports, right? We talk about
Yahoo Sports, and a lot of people go to Yahoo for entertainment news or world news as well.
Right.
But Yahoo Sports is one of my favorite sports. I go to Yahoo Sports before I go to ESPN.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. I think they've run very well-run sports site.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the idea of watching videos and stuff on there, they do have some videos, like some people talking, you know, NFL or whatever. But... this will be different. I haven't known them to do something quite like this.
No, before. And that's what kind of surprised me,
it's
actually.
It's not a bad thing, though.
It's not, but it really did surprise me.
Yeah.
I thought, you know what I mean? But, we'll see what the numbers play out. But I would assume that Yahoo is going to offer, I would assume they would get more to go to Yahoo. Because I would think,
I would think that they're not getting more. I would think it's more that, YouTube is going to offer less. And Yahoo probably is going to offer the same as what they were getting before.
Well, okay, yeah. I just thought that. I would thought Yahoo might give them a little bit more than they were giving before
maybe,
to take a chance, you know what I mean?
But again, another aside of that network, I mean, they're really screwed because they really got to find another way. Because 5 years from now, they need to have a different revenue source. So so they need the network. But on the other hand, the network will never work, so you're fucked. Well, like, no, I really don't know.
They don't need the network. What they need to do is build up the subscription, WWE.com is what they need to do, is find a way to get
that would be fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what they need, because it's all on the net.
Yeah.
Right? We talk about it's all on the net. I mean, the network is a stupid idea.
It's not going to work. They're losing money on
it's
network.
A stupid
it may
idea.
Never launch. And if it does launch, it will fail.
Even a couple years ago, it seemed like a decent idea. The faster things go, it's just dumb.
I
thought it was at least to get.
Well,
a
you were excited. Just that you're like, wow, I'm going to be able to get some good content. I'm going to be able to get some.
That's what I wanted.
Yeah,
right?
That's what you wanted. You were just looking at it from, hey, I'm going to see more wrestling. I'm going to see more matches from the 80s.
More
the
shit I want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I want more Smoky Mountain and more, Mid South and all that.
Yeah,
stuff.
Just something different.
Speaking of some old stuff, one guy that's been now, it's all but confirmed, which is. I think is wonderful. So the 2014 Hall of Fame deal's been done with his family. WWE Hall of Fame, your first inductee, you heard it here first, is Paul Bearer.
You hear it here first?
You heard it here first. Paul Bearer.
Your sources have confirmed it?
They have.
All right. Well, Paul Bearer, that's awesome. It's very deserving. That's terrific.
Undertaker at this point set to do it. Right now it's bouncing between Undertaker and Michael Hayes.
To induct him?
To induct him.
Who would receive for him, though?
Probably his son.
But you could do...
Kane. No.
You could do...
Both his son.
Undertaker and Duck and Hayes receive. Like.
No, I think it's his family. That's who they did. His son.
Okay.
Yeah, would do it. And one of his sons is a worker, right? So that's the deal.
That's
right, true. But anyway, we'll talk about Paul Bearer. Unfortunately, passed away.
Maybe if they've... done that deal, and they've done it with the family. How about another family? How about Owen? Do that one.
I mean, hey.
As you sit here with your Owen 316 shirt, says I just broke your neck.
Owen 316.
I think you're gonna wear your a shirt. I'm wearing currently a shirt. WeTalkWrestling.com.
I'm not retarded.
No, but I'm wearing.
We're doing a show here.
Yeah.
We're doing a show. I mean, you're fat, and so why would you be fat and wear a shirt that promotes your website when you're gonna be over-the-air broadcasting anything. That's just stupid.
Well, we'll get to that a little more in a little bit.
We will.
What are the points you got?
I just want to talk a little bit, and that's it. And we'll talk about some good, because we watched the Barbed Wire City documentary, but let's just talk about, we'll get this out of the way now. I mean, hell. Today is May 5th. Cinco de fucking Mayo. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about some Mexican wrestlers that we really like, because that's Cinco de Mayo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cinco de Mayo was the day. This day, Cinco de Mayo, was the day that WWE, that's the day they got the F out.
Is it?
That was the day that they lost and had to get the F out. So I just thought I'd point that out. The Big Boss Man. If you have ever taken a trip, even, down to Cobb County, Georgia.
You know, I've done both.
You have. I mean, well, you're versatile. You better read the signs, respect the law and order, and serve hard time. But he would have turned 50. He would have turned 50 on May 2nd.
Yeah.
There was last Thursday. And, I mean, he really, I mean.
Another Hall of Famer. Another guy who should definitely be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You think of the stuff that he did, though. I mean, like, he spanned, like, I can think of highlights of him. Like, you think of him not catching Jim Cornette as Big Bubba.
Yeah.
You know, on that scaffold match.
Mm-hmm.
You think of the superplex
mm-hmm.
on Saturday night's main event.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think of my daddy, you know, with the Big Show and Pepper Steak. You know, that
back to WCW, the Guardian and...
Oh, fuck.
You know,
remember the Guardian Angel?
The boss,
the man, the Guardian Angel.
Yeah.
Big Bubba.
Very interesting career. We could actually look into his career and do a whole show on that very easily, you know.
Well, we were talking about earlier today doing, like, We Talk Wrestling Spotlight on some guys. So.
Yeah, maybe that'd be one I'd be up for, actually.
He would be, guy. I mean, Stu Hart, again, would have had his birthday. I mean, second, The Rock just had his birthday. This week, of course, would have been the 48th birthday of the King of Hearts,
mm-hmm.
The Rocket, Owen Hart.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it'll be your birthday, same day.
It will be.
And you know what? All honesty, with that, skull.
Cheerio. But, no, I mean, I... You know, it's actually really ironic. I said to my girlfriend who got me these wonderful tickets to go see the Cirque du Soleil.
For herself.
I don't want to break kayfabe here, but the name of the show was Amaluna. So, kind of have to go to that.
That's true.
But I thought, I didn't tell her because, you know, it is a great gift, but I'm sitting there thinking to myself that, like, you know, my birthday, Owen Hart's birthday, and I'm going to see a trapeze act. I thought,
oh my god.
I thought, oh fuck, this. And I'm the only one in the world that would take this, right?
No, you did something with her today. You did a charity walk.
I did a walk.
How'd that go?
Well, you know what? I did a kids, this kids help phone walk. Actually, down around, in Calgary here, down around.
I did a kids help phone sit down on my couch.
Was Michael Jackson there?
Mel Phillips.
But actually, Mel Phillips. Rob Feinstein. I'll pretend there were 18 kids there, LOL. But it goes around the Eau Claire, Marion, around the Bow River. Actually, and for wrestling fans, anybody that watched the build-up to WrestleMania 12, the Iron Man match, this is actually where, and Bret Hart actually, when he was in the outs with WWF, thought that he kind of sabotaged him, but when he was doing his sort of jogging in the winter along the banks path. Of the path there,
yeah,
and that's actually where I was walking, was right there where Bret did his thing for WrestleMania 12, but yeah, it was weird. It was like, normally the mayor of Calgary kicks it off, but they had this MLA guy, his name was Kent Hare.
I wish
I was making this up, but you know what his dad's name was? He used to be the superintendent of schools. Dick Hare.
Dick Hare.
When I was like in junior high, when I was watching, when there were co-winners in the Royal Rumble, Dick Hare was the superintendent of schools of Calgary. But this guy, anyway, Ed Kenner. I mean, and a guy. I don't know.
Totally clueless.
And, I mean, it's just. I know, and the name is tragic. But the thing is, it was Kenner. He honestly can't walk. I don't know what his deal is. He's in a wheelchair. But we're in a charity walk, and he's in a motorized wheelchair. And I, like, as soon as he comes out, I'm like, well, that's cheating.
Well, yeah, it is.
Like, I know politicians are cheats. But they don't have to be so blatant about it.
Shit.
What were we talking about?
Have you got any other points?
Give me your favorite Stampede Wrestling Owen Hart moment.
Stampede
Wrestling? Well, we've talked about the WWF, I think, probably. I mean, we've been doing the show for, what, 3-4 years, and we talk about Owen Hart all the time, but a lot of the people don't...
He was awesome.
Don't see the stamp.
He's so, he was so awesome. I mean, highlights include... I can't just give you one. Highlights include him and Ben Bassarab as a team.
Yeah.
Were really, really fun to watch. Taking on the Orient Express. The Viet Cong Express. It was Hiro Hase, and I can't remember who the other guy was.
It wasn't the Viet Cong Express.
Well, they originally the Orient Express. And
really?
They had to change the name in week two because of that. So week
Because
there already was an Orient Express.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah,
well, not then there wasn't. But
well, but somebody had the trademark.
Someone already, probably.
So I mean, they had a 90-minute match. A 90-minute tag team Broadway match. So,
I remember.
The Viet Cong Express and Bassarab and Owen Hart. Just phenomenal. And just chain wrestling, just unbelievable. You never seen anything like it. And of course, we only saw the highlights because you couldn't go 90 minutes on TV and show it.
Well, no, the best part about that was that Greg Valentine was twice as warmed up.
The first time he body slammed Muckin Singh, I was like, holy shit!
You know, I was going to say
that. He wasn't a big guy. Singh was, Muckin Singh, the Bastion Booger. Norman the Lunatic, whatever you want to call him, was like a 380-pound guy.
That actually was my first, like, I don't know if that was my first Owen Hart memory, But that's the memory in wrestling. That's my first Owen Hart real wrestling stick-out memory is when he body slammed.
Oh, I can see it in my head.
I'm watching it right now. I can see him I can see Muckensick post up right off the knee pad there.
Yeah, I can see
the blue knee pad.
I haven't seen it in 25 years or whatever it is. Yeah. But I can, in my head, I remember it. It was so vivid. It's like, holy shit, because you just didn't see guys that size, body slam guys that size. It was so, and then Ben Bastrop did it like 2 months later, too, which is, he was a little bigger than Owen, but not much, and it kind of took a little weight from it. But when he won his first title, beating Gama Singh for the British Commonwealth.
The Junior Commonwealth,
Commonwealth, that was. And then simply his work with Lethal Larry Cameron. For the North American heavyweight title. I just remember their feud and how much I loved it. And they're just such an interesting dynamic, this big powerhouse former football player in the CFL who was very charismatic.
He was,
Very against this high.
He made all the way to the AWA, died right after he made the AWA.
Yeah, he did, yeah. And he had a brief stint in WCW, too, the briefest of brief stints there.
Yeah,
but
at the same time, Ben won.
I believe he was in Germany at a
when he died, yeah, when he died, he was in Germany. I remember that. I remember.
Back in the ring, he was like 41 or 38 or somewhere in that range.
Ed Whalen was the, of course, not just the Stampede Wrestling announcer, but he was the sports guy on Channel 7, 2 and 7, and that time he announced that it was Germany. I remember him doing that on the telecast.
Yeah, I remember reading it, hearing about it actually through Bret Hart's column.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean he was he would have been fine in WCW or WWF, but he had what it took. But obviously he was he was not clean. I'll just say it, you know, and he died.
Larry Cameron.
Yeah. So, you know, another guy passed away too early, much like Owen. But just to see them, they worked. It was just such an interest. It was a perfect dynamic. And it was just a good feud because Cameron came out of nowhere, pushed to the moon, and you believed that he wasn't going to be beat. And then there was Owen, who had been kind of like become the face of the company. So it was a very interesting dynamic.
So I think the thing with Owen is, and maybe more than Brett, at least for me,
how about the first time you saw him do some of those flips you hadn't seen anybody do? Like that one off the, that one where he ran up to the rope.
The thing that Eddie Guerrero used to do all the time, you know, and S.A. Rios and such. Yeah, do that.
But Owen was drop over. First.
Like 20 years later.
Earlier, the first time he saw that, I was like, holy fuck. That was just amazing.
I think the thing with Owen Hart is probably more than Brett.
Mm-hmm.
Brett undoubtedly was like the bigger star.
Mm-hmm.
But with Owen Hart, especially for us, to live in Calgary, but to have the opportunity to meet Owen Hart,
mm-hmm.
you thought you really knew Owen Hart a little bit better. Like, I mean, that none of us could say, we were Owen Hart's friends or anything. But, I mean, I remember going to Deliver, we both worked at, Domino's Deliver SummerSlam 94 that was mm-hmm. Brett and Owen in the cage. We both worked at Domino's Pizza. That's how we met.
And we didn't see each other for 8 years or something.
Those were awesome. We were doing a lunch delivery to a school.
Yeah.
And Keith Hart was a substitute teacher. Mm-hmm. Keith and Ross and some of them as substitute teachers in our schools. Bruce, I think, one time. Should I give him a hard time?
And you know what I'm going to do? We're going to be coming back to some on this family. I'm almost wondering if we should play the Brett. Because I have an actual interview with Brett Hart, a conductor of the Calgary Comic Book.
You did, yeah.
So maybe we should play it here right after you finish.
I think next. Yeah, we'll stick with the Harts, exactly. No,
yeah,
but I
it
mean,
makes sense, yeah.
I remember going to just to little pizza and Keith was, and then Owen was going to visit Keith. He was off or whatever, and they going to visit. And it was during the Brett and Owen feud. And I'm walking in with pizza box or whatever the big mm-hmm. box thing, and Owen's walking in. And I was like, "Fuck, it's Owen Hart, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of said, "Oh, he held the door open for me to get my pizza box." And thanks, and I said, "Thanks so much." And I said, "I'm just a huge fan."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Oh, thanks." And he's like, "Well, thanks." I think he said something like, "Well, you're a smart kid." You know, he's being kind of a heel, right? Like, just, you know, like, but, you know, and I said something to him. I said, "Well, I hope you and Brett," because it was coming up on SummerSlam, I think. "And yeah, I hope you and Brett have a great match at SummerSlam." He goes, "I'm going to give him a thrashing lifetime." And he gave me a wink.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just gave me that wink. Yeah. Like, you know, like, We knew what we were talking about, and we knew what we were doing, but we were both kayfabing, basically, mm-hmm. but we knew we weren't,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And it was that line that you tiptoe in that kind of...
especially in that era.
Again, yeah, in 1994, 1995, and it was just that special kind of bond, I'll say.
Yeah.
You know, that just made you feel connected and at home and at ease, and it was just,
yeah.
it was one of those things that you don't see. And
very unpretentious, very real guy. I remember going to a house, or yeah, it was a house show here, and I had a good crowd, probably had a 8,000 people crowd actually in this show, and Owen was sitting there right in the middle of the middle level.
Yeah.
I was like three rows up from him, and you know, three rows away from him, and I kept on looking back at him. And he was sitting there watching it with his girlfriend. I'm not sure if that became Martha.
It had to have been their high school sweetheart. I would think it had to have been Martha.
Yeah. And I remember them watching this. This was after he had been the Blue Blazer and left.
Right.
And he wasn't really doing anything. He was, you know, a little bit in Germany and
a little bit in WCW.
Yeah, but this was after that, too.
91, 92?
Yeah, this was like...
He pretty much did WCW, and then he did the Survivor Series.
At the time, we were hearing he wanted to become the firefighter or the teacher, and he worked, so it wasn't...
Yeah, okay, that would have been exactly, yeah. Early when Brett won the title, actually, around that time.
Yeah, we weren't sure if he was actually we were going to see him wrestle anymore.
Yeah.
I remember just looking back at him and seeing his face, and he just had this look like, I'm better than these guys, and I'm never going to... Like, he just looked frustrated. And he left before the show was over. He just kind of just took his jacket off and threw it off. And Martha, I guess, picked it up and carried it. He just kind of left. And I could just see the frustration because he knew. He was watching guys in the ring who were, you know, like...
Well, he was, you know. I mean, he could watch Paul Roman, Jim Powers, and Hercules, and Kamala, and Doink, and all these guys. And just know.
He's like, I'm better than them, but I'm never going to get a shot. Now, I could see the
frustration.
Yeah, because he
was five, you know? Whatever, nine, right?
Yeah.
And then you fast forward to the Eddies and the Benoits, and then the sad part is that they're all fucking dead. But they got their shot eventually. And that's the part
now
to me. The part to me, exactly, is that he doesn't try to propel from the ceiling in superhero-like fashion, and Owen Hart is still with us today. Is it the Radicals jump? It's the year 2000, and what does Owen Hart do with them?
He's wrestling.
You know what I mean?
He's wrestling Eddie to five-star matches. He's wrestling Benoit to five-star matches.
That's just it.
He and Jericho. He and Jericho are
tag team. Just like Jericho had on the plane.
Yeah.
You know, the picture on the plane when he showed Owen. You know,
yeah,
that's...
Yeah. They're tag team tagging against Eddie and Benoit and ripping stuff up and... Yeah, I mean...
And he's coming on this
he's
show,
a guy,
and he's talking about how great he is.
Yeah,
or we're talking about how great he is, and he's not.
He's a guy who's going to end up in the WWE Hall of Fame, I'm hoping. I'm really hoping.
He's
the guy who's never going to end up in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame. He would have, if this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
I believe he would have, because I think, yeah.
Well, it's just, I mean, he would have had the... I think he would have had the Jericho resurgence, because Jericho would have never gone to the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame had Jericho not had that year.
Yep.
And Benoit need to have that year.
Yeah. If he adds another 5 to 10 4.5 star matches onto his resume,
mm-hmm.
he's in, you know.
Here's the thing.
And he would have had that.
The bottom line is we do the show every week. Probably about 40 out of the 52 weeks of the year we use Owen Hart's music, the Twitter has Owen Hart's picture, our Facebook has Owen Hart's picture, our Podomatic site has Owen Hart's picture, but the reality is that there isn't really a week probably I would even say a day that goes by that Owen Hart doesn't flash through my head in some place.
I think of Owen every day, and I pretty much, and Edgar's other guy, I think of pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Like, I pretty much... Ever since they're passing every single day.
We
those two guys.
I'll play it. We're going to play it here in a little bit. But you've had the privilege of interviewing Edge at the Calgary Comic.
As well, yeah.
As well. And I always looked in, and I always remembered the Edge quote from the Owen Hart Raw. And he ended the thing by going, when I think of Owen, I smile.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I can say it any better from one Adam to another, is that when I think of Owen Hart, I smile. I don't
Absolutely.
Know that there's ever been a wrestler that
I think that's why I think of Eddie all the time, too, because I smile when I think of Eddie.
Yeah. Like, I don't know that there's been another wrestler than Owen Hart that's maybe impacted in my life more than Owen Hart.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's one of those things that you get the chance to casually meet him a couple times.
You were already a huge wrestling fan before Owen.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that Owen wasn't, yeah.
Oh, I was, but then I got to do it, and then he really became the reason. I mean, we talk about the now wrestling sucks, but it does. But
I wouldn't say it sucks. But
I know you, but not the peak, right? And in the 90s, it wasn't the peak.
No,
but we had Bret and Owen.
We had Bret and Owen
for 6 years there.
Yeah,
that really got us, or 5 years or 4 years.
Yeah,
that really took us, got us by. And I would largely say that to me that was Owen. Anything up to the pile driver section of against Steve Austin, but still.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I thought I'd
you know. Well, you said it before, and it's true. If not for Owen Hart and Randy Savage, you're probably not here doing this show.
Oh God, no. Oh
yeah.
God, no. But. But anyway, it was just always Tuesday, and we have to talk about him.
Yeah, we do every year, and we will every year. But let's get on to the interview. I only had a few minutes with Bret because they had another interview scheduled, and they kind of just shoehorned us in. I only had time to ask 3 questions, and Bret, of course, takes his time to answer things. This is on live on the floor of the Calgary Comic Book and Entertainment Expo this past weekend, 1 week ago, I guess, the previous Sunday, so... what it is it's not the best place to necessarily, it's not necessarily the best place, well, you haven't turned that on yet, have you?
No.
Wait, yeah, no. It's not necessarily the best place to interview him. Of course, there's a lot of background noise and everything. Like I said, I didn't have very long. Another reason I didn't have very long, though, is I had a whole bunch of questions, and I asked a 3rd question, and he doesn't remember what I'm asking. He remembers it differently. I know for a fact that what I'm bringing up occurs the way I'm bringing it up. Now, you haven't heard this yet.
No, I haven't heard anything.
He remembers it differently, but that doesn't matter because he goes on to a different...
Tangent. Okay.
With this question. And I found what he said so surprising and shocking, and I was kind of flabbergasted. I literally lost my train of thought, and
really?
I kind of just ended the interview. Like I said, I was really being told to wrap it up anyways, but this just kind of... I was like, whoa.
Well, okay, here's my question. Who the fuck is more important than us? This is why I need to book time off. I'm sorry. I am sorry to the We Talk Wrestling fans, because I would have booked time off. They would have said, oh, Bret only has time for 3 questions. But like, the fuck you say he does.
Well, you know, the other thing is, Bret, Bret was not there to do interviews. Bret was there to be with the fans. So
I'm
a appreciate
fan.
The fans. Yeah, that's true. I appreciate the time. And Edge, Edge was awesome. So.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second here, and then put the audio on.
You go. So take off, and you hoser, and let's get going here. I don't know what you're doing. Is your name Frankie Williams? You're from Columbus, Ohio. Are you all ready to go? So, okay, so Mo up here is ready to go. He's giving me the thumbs up here. We are going to listen to Bret the Hitman Hart, so here we go.
Hi, this is Mo. We Talk Wrestling. I'm here with the legendary Bret the Hitman Hart. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Oh, it's always good to chat.
Thank you. I'm wondering if right now you could actually describe to me right now what your relationship is with Triple H.
I have a good relationship with him. I think we got a fair amount of respect for each other now, and I think he's got bigger problems to worry about than a lot of people realize. But I understand how difficult it is running the whole show and all that. So I think there's we have a mutual respect. You know, I know I've said stuff about his work and stuff like that. But, you know, in truth and reality, and I've said this too, but it doesn't seem to get the same mention, is that, you know, he's always been a hard worker and a hard wrestler. And, I always thought he was a decent wrestler as far as hard work goes. And, you know, for me to criticize his wrestling matches, you know, in all fairness, I haven't seen a lot of his matches.
Enough,
I haven't seen enough of the body of the matches that he's had in his career to really judge him too harshly. He's always been a hard worker. I just don't know that he was ever an innovator and a guy that thought of a lot of stuff or created a lot of stuff. Which I think my comments about him a few months ago with England were honest and on most levels, but it's kind of got blown out of proportion where it's like we have some kind of issue with each other, which we don't.
How about some of the other members of the Flick? And the end of your book is particularly, you were a little opinionated regarding kind of what they have done to the wrestling industry. Do you feel, how do you get along with Kevin Nash and the other members?
Actually, I get along pretty good with all of them. Kevin Nash, of all the guys that, a lot of the wrestlers from that era, is one of my better friends today. And, you know, the truth is, I'm actually pretty good friends with Sean now. You know, I think the truce that we had on Monday Night Raw was all very legitimate in the sense that we really did bury the hatchet and are friends now. And I would say the same for Triple H. You know, I see him and, the thing about making peace with people or sort of burying the hatchet is that you have to either make peace or, you know, you can't do it halfway. You have to either do it or not do it. And, we all kind of stepped forward and shook hands, and we've all been pretty decent friends now since then. And I consider Kevin Nash one of my better friends in the business.
Now, I have a question that's just for me, not for the listeners, but I'm going to ask it anyways. At Stu Hart's 80th birthday celebration, originally you were meant to take on Shawn Michaels in the main event, and it was changed to Davey Boy Smith. This was just a couple months out from your WrestleMania match with him. Was that meant to be a trial run, and why was that match changed?
I don't think it was ever scheduled for me to wrestle Shawn. I don't know that ever Shawn was ever... The guys that were... It was one of a volunteer basis kind of thing. Guys like Razor Ramon and 123 Kid came up. But, the sad reality of that show was that the show was a front kind of for sort of a charity thing for almost for my dad, which my dad was very, he didn't really want it to look like it was a benefit for him that he was needing a handout from wrestling fans. And he was a little offended by that. It was all tied around his birthday, which was in May, but the show was in November, so it was kind of a fabricated event that my brother Bruce put on to, and he used it as a reason to raise money for cerebral palsy, when in fact he pocketed the money from the whole event. And a lot of the wrestlers didn't trust my brother Bruce and didn't like the way he ran business. And a lot of guys didn't come up, and I can't say much for how he ran the show in the first place.
All right, well, thank you very much for your time, sir. I really appreciate it, and I'll let you get back to your work.
Now, in all fairness, Bruce has cerebral palsy, so...
Does he?
Doesn't he?
I don't know.
Well, it's Tourette syndrome.
Does he?
It's talking about the Japs and stuff. But and I always thought that, too, is that it was, like, Stu Hart's 80th birthday. I remember being on, like, Channel 2 and 7 here in December.
Mm-hmm.
And his birthday, we just talked about with the fucking Rock and Boss Man, May 2nd, right? So I'm like, well, what? And, I mean, I like how Brett misremembers a little bit of the stuff. And, I mean, you can get away with that as a little bit of the legend, but... Whatever, and yeah, I don't know if it was ever meant to be him and Sean. Like, you know what? I do know.
That was what was originally
advertised. That's fine. I mean,
yeah,
he doesn't. I mean,
when I was asking that, you should have seen the look on his face. Like, holy fuck! How does this guy know this? Or what's he talking about? Like, he was there.
Yeah, and then you get a little bit of respect that way. I mean, when we talked to DDP, and I talked about him and the coach. You know, John Heath, and he was like, wow, okay, you know what you're talking about. Now I can't, you know, and they're still going to bullshit you anyway because you're on the air and they know you're not going to call them out on, you know, you're a liar, you know, right? I mean, it's just a thing. So, but I mean, Bret Hart.
He legitimately
great,
not
though. I mean, no, and that's the thing.
Good,
I mean,
that's very interesting stuff.
But
I
with him and.
Interesting.
Yeah, and Bret with him, I mean, Christ, you do 300 days a year for, you know, 10 years. You don't remember anything, right?
Strokes and concussions and...
Yeah, a little bit, right?
You know, but more than that...
Well, that was one thing that I wondered. Is it, like, no wonder that he got a stroke going on his back when he was doing some backpedaling there.
It was at the beginning when he was talking about Triple H and even Kevin Nash. Because right at the end of his last quote is, you know, last few lines in his book is talking about how Kevin Nash and the others ruined the wrestling industry. But that's okay. Consider this as... What about the saying that Bruce... This was the part... I was so shocked when I heard it. I just... Like I said, when he said Bruce... this money was supposed to go to charity and to his father, and he pocketed it.
He used his father to put some money through cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And Bruce pocketed it. Yeah.
Well, both. I mean, it was essentially, it was, like I say,
Did that surprise you, honestly?
No, but I'm just like...
In
2013,
you were
talking about all the greatness. Well, yeah.
But in 1995, that could happen pretty easy.
We're talking about how great Owen is, and then we start...
Yes,
you know,
I know. It's not the
and
family.
Then there's Bruce.
And there's Willie
That's
farting.
A really disgusting thing.
But,
so.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's the opposite. I mean, yeah, no, I mean, that's Bruce Hart. Yeah, I remember sitting in bars with Bruce Hart.
Yeah.
Talking about he's going to bring wrestling here, and the ceiling is like 8 feet tall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're going to put a 7-foot ring in here, and they're going to have, what are you going to have Sky Low Low fighting in here? Like, what the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, he's an idiot.
Yeah.
He's a former guest, though.
Well, yeah. And we'll have him on again. He can't get away.
But, yeah. He might actually still be on the phone. You want me to check? Yeah, he's still there. Hang up.
Cerebral palsy. It's a fundraiser. We Talk Wrestling could be our named sponsor. If you guys are interested, you know. Way to let him go. He's
running on.
Yeah.
But that like I said, I found that very. I had never heard that before. I'm not sure he's ever publicly stated that or that's well known.
I was gonna say I've never heard the cerebral. No, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
And I mean, hell, I know a lot of people that was at that show. You know what I mean?
I remember walking around backstage of that show.
Yeah.
Meeting Brian Pillman when I'm like, hey, Mr. Pillman, and he looks at me and goes, pestilence, war, famine. Whatever the last one is, a death or whatever, like four rows behind the box was holding up the sign, right? Like a half inch from my face, and I'm like, Jesus, this guy is intense.
That was that 95 deal when he was, he was going to be, him and like Benoit, they were going to not be the four horsemen, but they were going to be that option.
Pestilence, famine, war, is it death? No, it's something else.
I don't know. But
whatever
they were
it is,
be,
he held it like right from
it was
right
like,
my,
it was Benoit.
He got right in my face and screamed
it.
It was going to be
Benoit. Pillman, Regal,
mm-hmm.
I want to say Guerrero, or like Malenko
maybe,
or something. It was something like that, anyway, that was going to...
He was a member of the Horsemen.
They were
going to
be called Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And they were going to fight the Four Horsemen.
Four Horsemen.
It was like, it was going to be like Barry Windham and Flair and Anderson.
That was also the first time in many, many years I got
heads
up to...
Oh.
Thank God you were muted when he said that. You knock over your mic. Have another fucking beer. You're going to, right?
What does everybody want?
Ed?
I think so.
Anyways, but I remember being really close, you know. I hadn't seen Chris Benoit since the Stampede Wrestling days at that point. I just remember being, you know, a couple feet away from him. And he was big in Stampede Wrestling, but not, I mean, just... Like the arms, like he was just signing an autograph. He's not even flexing, and that's where the bicep was just so unnaturally shaped and large. And you never thought of him as a big guy or a jack guy because his frame wasn't that big or that tall. But when I saw him close up like that, I was like, he's on steroids. He's got to be. You know, it never even occurred to me before that. Like on TV, I didn't think about it much, and especially because he still was in WCW. I think smaller than he was when he was, you know. World champion over in WWE, but he was right away. You're just like his frame is not natural. His physique is not natural. He doesn't carry the body weight in a natural way for his height and for what his frame should be. And it was even then it was disturbing. It was like, whoa, nobody's arms should look like that. Like maybe they may not be the biggest arms in the world like Hulk Hogan, but I swear to God they're probably you know. If you put everything in proportion, I think his arms were bigger than, you know, just anybody I can recall seeing, like, proportionate-wise. And so that was a little bit frightening. And that was, like I say, that was many years before his incidents and, you know, like, 95. So, I mean, anyways, he had just started with WCW at the time. But Okay, so that's enough about that night.
I'm sorry, what?
So that's enough about that night. let's move on here. Do we want to have our positive guests on? Do we want to talk a couple more things? I got a couple Twitter things. Do we want to edge on? What do you want
to
do here?
You got a couple Twitter things. Let's do Twitter positive guests, Twitter, and we have edge as well. So
okay. Well, Pulpy Poontang sent us a question on Twitter.
Really?
Pulpy Poontang.
You know, he had a great snatch this week.
Oh, fucking cheers to that. There we go. Pulpy Poontang had a question, though. He said, I love it, Mo and Addy, when you guys play this or that. Here's a this or that I got for you. Can you ask Addy, Undertaker or Hulk Hogan?
Undertaker or Hulk Hogan? I go with Hogan.
Really? I go Taker.
Hogan drew more money.
Yeah.
And then it's, again, that's what it is, right? And that's the only reason. I understand both points.
Taker drew money too, though, and
he did. Oh,
better influence in the locker room.
He didn't say fucking Hogan or Louis Spicoli here.
No.
He said Hogan or Taker, and I understand.
Better matches plus better, mm-hmm. better leg. I think his legacy is many ways better. Certainly better influence in the locker room.
Yes. And hell,
I think I go Taker, but I think I would take Taker over Hogan. If I had to pick one for my company.
Well, if I had to start a company, it's Hulk Hogan. Hey, start any company at any point, it's Hulk. It is.
I think I'd go Taker. I really think I'd take Taker over Hogan. I understand 100% what you're saying.
Well, I understand what you're saying, too, and it's just, we can agree to disagree on this one, which is rare. But
normally, we just disagree.
I know.
And then I'm
usually
right.
You're wrong. But to me, I got to go with the money, and I got to go with Hogan.
Okay.
But Taker, I mean... Yeah, he's awesome.
Okay, so now we're going to do our positive guest. Very positive fellow. What am I supposed to ask him?
Something positive.
Okay. All right, let me call him.
Okay.
Wow.
Is he in Australia? Good day, mate.
Fake DDP, is that you?
I heard Addy say, is he in Australia? And I had to go with that gag. Bad!
Well, fake DDP, really great to have you back
on
the show.
How are you doing, Mo?
Well, I've lost a little weight. I'm looking pretty good.
You are a fat fuck. I gotta tell you, Mo, I gotta tell you right now, is that I don't know this place called DDP Yoga. It's Iron Mama's Yoga. And we've been doing this.
I thought it was called Yoga for Regular Guys. YRG.
Mo, what you need to understand, YRG, great brand, but people didn't know it was yoga.
Oh.
And it's yoga. And
it's called Yoga for Regular Guys. They didn't know it was yoga?
YRG was the brand. And I said, I talked to people. I talked to the Pope. I talked to Brian Alvarez. I talked
to... When
you
say the Pope, you mean like the one that just got replaced, or...
France.
Oh.
I talked to President Barack Obama. I talked to Kurt Pellegrino. He says, I'm doing...
Who?
I'm doing DDP yoga.
Hmm.
It's YRG, but everybody's calling it DDP yoga. So at that point, I go, okay, it's DDP yoga.
Oh, very cool.
Then at one point, I said, somebody said, why should I do DDP yoga? I said, bro, it's not your mama's yoga.
Oh.
They laughed.
They laughed.
Everyone I've ever said that to has laughed.
Well, it's hilarious.
I'm on to something. DDP yoga, it's not your mother's yoga. Okay. Jake Roberts, Scott Hall, not your mama's yoga.
Well, you're seeing good growth with the brand then, since you've rebranded it?
My penis is doing fine, Mo.
With the brand? With the product?
What?
With the DDP yoga.
I gotta the yogas, not your mama's yogas.
Really?
We are unstoppable.
And but it's growing well. More people doing it. Some.
Let me tell you about something, Mo.
I said this. What was his name? Kurt.
Have
Angle?
I ever told
Kurt,
you?
What was
Let
it?
Me tell you about a story.
Pellegrino?
A true story about
who's that?
A retired paratrooper named Arthur.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I've already heard.
Have you heard this story?
Yeah.
Arthur Gordon.
We've all fucking heard this story 500 times, fake DDP.
If that guy can do DDP yoga, again, not your mama's yoga, I don't know anybody that can. Arthur Gorman, retired paratrooper. Let me show you this picture.
Oh, God's sakes, you're on the phone. I can't see it. You're in Australia.
Right here. This picture here.
Okay, we are on Skype.
He can't even stand up. And let me show you this. And can you see this picture here?
Yeah,
can you see this picture here?
I can't see anything, though.
He is doing it all by himself. I gotta tell you.
What would happen if I did it?
Let me tell you about the people doing DDP yoga, not your mama's yoga. Everybody
not your what, mom?
All the guys now. All the guys.
Really?
Jericho. Jericho. Is like, Paige, I gotta get doing this. And he's telling me, he's talking about, for he's like, Paige, my back is killing me. I've been telling everybody you gotta do my yoga. He's like, I know I gotta do your yoga. I gotta do your yoga. But I'm like, why are you doing my yoga? No. And he hurts his back, okay? He just, his C3, C5, he just hurts his back. And I'm like, Chris, you gotta do my yoga. I was like, I know I gotta do your yoga. Well, just do my yoga. Come to the place. So he comes down to Atlanta, and he does my yoga.
Chris Fascinating Jericho, story. Fascinating.
Let me tell you about
is there a punchline to the story?
Doing YRG. Ryback.
What the fuck? Ryback.
Ryback. Ryback is doing Ryback is doing my YRG.
Really, Ryback, you said.
Ryback. Really? DDP yoga, not your mama's
That's
yoga.
Funny.
They were talking about, no, like, Paige, I went into a gym, and in the middle of the corner, with no one around, Ryback is start to finish doing DDP yoga, not your mama's yoga. And I said, why did you go in? They said, because it was Ryback. We didn't think he was doing DDP yoga, and then halfway through, we realized he was doing DDP yoga. Not your mama.
All right, anybody else you want to tell us about, or can we please end this?
Mo, Addie's mom.
Yeah?
She does DDP yoga.
But it's not Addie's mom's yoga. I just blew your mind, didn't I?
Mo, I gotta go and rethink my marketing strategy. Now that you have told me that. So, I gotta go.
Okay, should I start doing it before I go, though? Because, I mean, I have lost a little weight.
Mo, you are a fat fuck.
All right. Bye, fake DDP. Nice talking to you.
Do you eat pizza?
A little bit.
I only eat gluten-free pizza.
What the hell is that?
Bang! All right, thanks for coming on, DX. Yeah, Jesus. Let's go to the bathroom here now.
Yeah, and I think he blew the speakers out.
Did he really?
I'm pretty sure that's gonna hurt some people's ears. But
wow.
A great interview.
They're not your mama's speakers.
You know, I gotta call somebody else because that was such a good interview. Just one quick second. I'm just gonna get Joey Lawrence on the line here. Just
okay.
It's been a while since he's here. Hey Joey, we just had DDP on talking about DDP yoga.
Yeah,
he said it's not your mama's yoga. What do you have to say to that?
Whoa.
Thanks, Joey.
Wow.
Man, Joey hasn't been on for a while.
He hasn't been on a while.
But you know what? He had as much to say as ever.
Well, you know the thing with Joey is that, like, You get him on every, like, 6 months or every 9 months or whatever. And still, you know, he goes on for a couple hours.
He talks your ear off.
It's like an hour and a half at least,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The guy talks your fucking ear off.
You know, Greg Valentine doesn't even get warmed up.
No,
you know, so it's too bad.
All right, so we had another question.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What was the other question?
From Dick Diggler.
Really?
Yep. Dick Diggler. I would love...
One of my favorite listeners. Tweeters.
Yeah, tweeters. Dick Diggler asked us, they've taken El Generico's mask off. What do you think that means for him in developmental? Good move, bad move?
Even in-between move?
Yeah.
I kind of fall into that in-between move for me. Again...
I think this is what we all expected.
Yeah.
But I remember listening to a certain individual. I think his name was Dave...
Mozzarella?
Mozzarella, yeah. Dave Mozzarella. I think he runs the wrestling site.
He's cheesy.
Yeah, I know. The wrestling...
Greater.
Newsletter. Anyways, he was saying that
Wrestling Observer News
the mask is the gimmick. The mask is what makes him stick out. When they take that off him, it'll be a big mistake.
Well,
he was saying that at the time. I've seen the pictures of him without the mask. He's a normal-looking guy, but the thing is, now he's just like every white man baby face.
Guy.
He just, nothing stands out. Yeah. He just looks like a wrestler. He looks like an indie wrestler now.
The thing with... We saw El Generico... The thing I looked at El Generico, it's a little bit different, but not really in terms of getting. I mean, what we look at now is we're always looking for guys to go to the top, like Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan may never go to the top, okay, but he's gonna be a star. Right now, the perfect example right now is Antonio Cesaro.
Like Orlando Jordan.
Antonio Cesaro is actually the perfect example right now, right? Is it, yes. Well, he's going to be a star.
Like Orlando Jordan.
But Antonio Cesaro, I mean, whether he goes to the top, he's going to be a guy. You know, that we're going to hear about, know about, be a superstar on the roster for a long time.
Probably, yeah.
Probably. And I think that El Generico...
I wonder if they'll keep him yodeling or not. Of course, you have to keep in mind when...
Yodeling jobber.
Claudio Castagnoli debuted for the first, I think, 3 years. He was a comedy character.
He was a total comedy guy.
He was a comedy character. Yeah. So, yeah. Before redefining himself. So,
yeah. Bubba Ray Dudley. We talked about watching... we'll talk
comedy
about,
character.
You know,
redefining himself.
When he came back,
for years, even after when he was Brother Ray, we still called him Bubba. Now we call him Bully Ray. I never think of him
but
as Bubba
But he incited... riots in ECW, and then he was a stuttering fuck in WWF, right? I mean, that's the thing. But Antonio Cesaro doing the thing. So I think that the other thing, you talk about Dave Meltzer, the other thing is Dave Meltzer...
Dave Mozzarella.
Oh, Mozzarella, I'm sorry. Is quite astute, though, at pointing out that if you're a star somewhere, you can generally be a star anywhere.
Yeah.
You generally are a star somewhere. So like Daniel Bryan, Claudio Castagnoli, I think, will be a star. And I think that... I think that El Generico... You know, deal or no deal, mask or no mask, I think eventually, maybe not right away, and not in the same way, and that's I think that's almost, I don't want to say what pisses people off a little bit, but that's kind of the deal, is that it's going to be in a little bit different way, but I think he'll still be a star.
Probably, but again, it's like Aaron Neville was Pac, the man who defies gravity. Mm. Now he's Aaron Neville, so he doesn't really have a gimmick. He's still kind of the man who defies gravity.
They call him the man who defies gravity.
Yeah, but it's
do
not
that.
Really much of a gimmick.
El Generico, he
doesn't have to have the mask, but he does have to have a gimmick. He can't just be a guy who comes out looking
right.
like everybody else.
You're right.
And that's what he is right now. He needs a gimmick still. So, but he's early into his run. And it takes him a while to find the gimmick. A lot of these guys will wrestle and be there for 6 months without a gimmick, just kind of... familiarizing himself and learning something. So,
I haven't really found that in developmental. They kind of, so far with the NXT, they've already picked.
By the time they get to NXT, usually, yeah. But they
well, they're
going to
be a new facility inside, so we'll figure that out. I mean, that'll be September when that opens. But right now, I mean, that the Jericho, it's like Randy Savage, you know, the cream of the crop. You know, they're going to rise to the top, and I think he...
He needs a gimmick, though. He can't just
be
what
he does,
he's
but And I think, though, he'll get on the roster.
Yeah.
At some point. I mean, I don't know.
I think they should have left the mask on him. I think it would have worked.
Oh, yeah. I do, too.
That said, they wouldn't do that just because they didn't come up with it. That's how they do things.
Especially now.
Yeah.
With Mysterio's probably going to be back in, June? And Sin Cara.
Is he coming back? I haven't heard that.
Yeah, he's coming back apparently in June is what he's earmarked for.
That's an easy angle. He comes in and he is following these guys around. He thinks he's a luchador and he's not. He's trying to glom on them. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's an easy angle.
Do it,
yeah.
Because they have no mask guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have no babyface mask guy.
Yeah.
They have nobody. Even fucking Rey Mysterio just managed it.
Yeah.
There is no guy with a mask right now.
Yeah, that's right.
So, do it.
Yeah.
So you can sell those $80 masks.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's with Sin Cara. Two years ago almost,
yeah.
when SmackDown was here in Calgary, and that's what we noticed, it was an $80 fucking Sin Cara match.
And they sold some.
Sin Cara just debuted, spring, right?
Yeah.
And it was, yeah, they sold some. Fuck.
Yeah. And this was actually when Hunico was portraying him at that point, too.
That's right. It was between,
taking on Heath Slater 75,000 times.
He's fucking money.
Well, he is fucking money. He is now.
Fucking class.
All right. All right, we got one last interview. Like I say, I also talked to Edge down at the expo. So what we're going to do here is we're going to play that for you in just a moment.
Was that in 86? I don't remember. Was it in 1986? I'm trying to remember when you... Because you talked about expo. And expo 86, that was in Vancouver, wasn't it?
Hi, this is Mo. We Talk Wrestling. I'm here with Adam Copeland, better known to everybody as Edge, one of the biggest stars of WWE the last few years. I really want to appreciate your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I know you're not here for free, but I don't think you're at a convention like this for the money either. What does coming to a convention like the Calgary Comic Book and Entertainment Expo mean to you?
Well, you know, I'm a comic geek, so it's always fun to just to see the costumes, you know, period. Get to do it in Calgary. You know, it's always been one of my favorite towns. I got a lot of friends here, so it's always a good excuse to come out and hang out with my buddies too. But it's interesting too because it draws a different crowd than if I did, you know, a wrestling show or a car show or something. There's a lot more people that are interested in my part on Haven at these because it's a sci-fi show. So you start to see that integrate, and it's not just all wrestling talk. It's kind of half and half, which is cool because it's like, all right, I guess it's going okay on the other day.
Should I have introduced you as the star of Haven instead?
I don't know if I'm the star, but you
what
know.
What the hell?
But it's been a cool, fun, kind of neat little segue, and these type of things, you know, because there is a sci-fi element, you know, and being on a show that's, you know, originated from Stephen King, it's you know, there's a natural built-in, you know, kind of lead.
So what does... lost my question. I want to go back to the night that you were in Toronto. You're facing John Cena for the ladder, table ladders and chairs match. You talk about family, friends. That night seemed to be very emotional for you. I remember just before the match, slapping your face. It looked like you're trying to get the emotion out of yourself. Prepare for the match. Can you go back and just tell me a little bit about what was going through your mind, running through your mind, your heart that evening?
Well, you know, you're in your hometown. You're walking in as the world champion. You're in the main event. You know, it was everything that I had worked for. You know, that in my mind's eye, that's what I always told myself I was going to happen. But throughout the years, there's always things that will happen. It's like, is that going to happen? Is it? No, it's going to. And then when it does, it's, you know, it's a realization of it. So it was definitely emotional, you know, and then, yeah, to have family there and friends there and for all of them to know that was the case, you know, it definitely makes it special. You know, anytime you got to wrestle in your hometown, it's special, but even more so when you put those stakes, you know, behind it.
Also, you had been turned heel largely because you had been booed in Toronto before that.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of irony also just that you came back and were getting that unreal reception that evening.
Yeah, it was interesting. I remember thinking, okay, now, okay, you're doing the whole Bizarro thing. I get it. But that really was the initial night when I came back It was a SummerSlam. I think it was wrestling Jericho and Batista. It was the IC champ. Hadn't been there in 2 years. Coming back after neck surgery. Cool. This is going to be awesome. And they, you know, it wasn't not, you know, like, it wasn't everyone booing. It was like a 50-50, but I was like, man.
Okay. Really?
After all this, you want to do that? All right, fine. I'm going to give you reason.
Right.
Now let's give them reason. And so yeah. From there, that kind of, you know, kick-started it to kind of turn and let's do something different.
And also, of course, when you were off, you had just come back from your neck surgery at the time. When you're off, you write the book, Adam Copeland on Edge. That's before you win all your world titles. So is there a sequel coming up? Any sort of follow-up coming?
You know, I sporadically get to it. You know, it's kind of like I have to get those creative juices. You know, I have to dip into them or they'll just kind of come to the forefront. But I it's weird. It comes in phases, you know. For a little while, I was like, bam, I kicked out, like, I churned out 20 chapters. And then I haven't touched it in a month. But I know there's going to come a point where I'll, like, get another 10 in, and then I'll take a, you know, kind of like the tide. It comes and goes with the tide. But that's kind of how the first one went, too. It was like, if I forced it, it would reinforce. So I have been getting to it when it comes to me. So it would be probably a quarter of the way done.
More questions,
okay. Number one, we're right here beside the Hart Foundation. What would have happened? Edge and Christian versus the Hart Foundation.
One hell of a wrestling match. Yeah, it'd be awesome. You know, it would have been good. It would have been really, really good.
How about Edge and Hogan versus the Hart Foundation?
Technically, maybe not as good.
But, a lot of buys.
But it'd be a lot of buys. Yeah, and it would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
And my final question is actually the night that your friend, Jay Riso, did I pronounce his name right, I hope?
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Good. Okay, Christian climbs that ladder himself and pulls down the world title, and you're there in that match against Alberto Del Rio. How did that compare, actually, to when you're winning your own world title?
Honestly, it was right up there. You know, and especially having kind of accomplished it and, you know, won 11 of them, it was like, if I won one more, great, but it was like, I did it, finally, you know, so that was almost off my bucket list, you know, but to see him finally do it, because I feel he deserved it so much too, you know, that made it all the more sweet for me. It's like, awesome, okay, if any positive can come out of this whole situation of the neck injury and being forced to retire and all of those things, he's gonna get a shot to prove what he can do. And you know, which was cool, just to finally see him get the nod, do it in, you know, what is essentially his other hometown, Tampa, and you could tell by the crowd reaction too. They wanted to see it. They knew he deserved it. So that it made it really special.
That's awesome. And thank you very much. And just one more. Sorry. Randy Orton then wins the title 2 days later. The internet went crazy. Twitter went crazy. First thought runs through your head when you hear, oh, he dropped the belt already, just did the TV taping 2 days later.
I bet you it was a good match. I don't go on the internet, so I didn't really give a crap what anybody thinks, because it's like, I'm inside the business, so to me, is it a good match? Awesome. Done.
And it was a great match, and it followed up with even more great matches. So.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate your time in this day. Okay. You've done Canada proud.
Thank you. Okay. Appreciate it.
Wow, all right. Edge on We Talk Wrestling.
All right, so what do you think of that? What do you think of some of the things he said?
You know, I kind of go back to what you... I mean, again, Edge is another guy that we kind of have a connection with, again, because of the longevity of seeing him. And when he retired, very emotional. And with Christian, you know, what he said. Yeah, he's won 11 titles. So when Christian won his first one, of course, it's like right up with one of his first or second, right? And then, you know, of course, he's, you know, when you ask the follow-up question, well, what the fuck, right?
A couple times he caught himself the same fuck, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, but I mean, he fucking lost it 2 days later.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, fucking, we were mad.
Yeah.
And
well, especially because he said, oh, he's going to have the chance to show what he can do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then,
yeah,
that's
well,
thought.
That, and that's the deal, right? But that showed the same hope that we had, and it shows the same, you know, he's playing the company.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, that's, you understand that. But I look more to the first question, mm-hmm. how did that rank and what he could do, and that's, you know, and that's what we were all feeling. And then what happened, and he's, well, you knew he wasn't going to, you know what I mean? He, in 20 years, he might say what he's actually feeling,
but not right now.
Not right now.
And, you know, again, you try and ask him something, you're hoping that you could hear something that he hasn't talked about before, and I hope that was people enjoyed that. He was really, really very, very open, very relaxed, and I could have kept asking questions. He didn't have anybody, and he had wrapped up everything and put some time aside for me, but he was going to go to lunch and then going to a panel, which I intended to go to. I did attend the Heart Foundation panel earlier. Some good stuff out of that one. This panel I couldn't get into because the people who run the expo are a bunch of fuck-ups.
Really?
So they closed off his panel because they had filled up another panel and couldn't open up the hallway to let us in.
Yeah, you spell panel.
P-anal?
P-anal!
Which is a shame because I told him, he actually sought me out. I was walking away. He sought me out. He called me over. He shook my hand. He was like, I really enjoyed that, you know, and I was like, oh, I appreciate it. I'm going to go watch your panel. I'm expecting that to be good, too.
P-anal.
Yeah, I'll see you there. And then I couldn't get there. So it was very, it kind of sucked. The highlight for me of the Bret Hart one, they told a funny story about when they were new in the company, and Vince had his fat, I guess he had some ring rats that were kind of fat. The Rossetti sisters. And about them being drunk upstairs and not realizing Vince was on the other side of a wall, and they're pushing on the wall and realize the wall could move, and they tumbled through it.
The Rossetti sisters are.
Yeah, they're on Heenan's show.
On the Bobby Heenan show,
yeah. And they were in there partying with Vince and a few of the other guys.
Nice.
So that was a good one. Also, they
Park asked, Foundation were taking his head off.
They also asked one other interesting question, just back to Owen. They asked Anvil, who in history has he preferred to work with? Who was his favorite person? He said Owen. He said Bret was great and all. He said, but Owen was so smooth. Owen made everything look so great, and he could make you laugh, and yet nothing hurt, and you didn't have to do any work. He did everything. Like, he was like, he's the smoothest guy.
Bret, hold on.
And Bret's like, I know, I'm not as smooth. I was not as smooth as Owen. Owen
hold
was
on a
the
sec.
Smoothest
Wait
guy
a minute.
Ever.
Anvil didn't want to work.
You know, it was a great weekend. Too bad I couldn't get into the panel. I guess there were like five people there because they shut it off. So I was there half hour early and they'd already shut off the hallway.
There were five people there?
Like five people in the panel, yeah.
Oh, on the panel.
Attending the panel because they shut the hallway down because they had another panel that had gotten full and they couldn't get anybody in there. So he had like five people in the panel.
Wow.
Just a joke. Now, I will say this, though. That panel and the Hart Foundation
panel.
That's
CalgaryExpo.com.
It was their biggest fuck-up of the weekend, probably. They had run a better show than previous years.
Did you stand in the hallway at least and chant, you fucked up, you fucked up, you fucked up?
Well, here's what I'm going to be doing. Flip TV has that panel and the Hart Foundation panel and all the other ones. They had Star Wars panels. They had Walking Dead panels. They had Boondock Saints. They had Torchwood, all these different shows, some geek shows, some other geeks, other things, and some real stuff. All these are taped, and for $10.
It's all real to me.
You can watch all these panels, these on Flip TV.
And
FlipTV.com? You can watch the Hart Foundation and the Edge one there, too. And I plan to watch the Edge one there for like $10. There's a lot of good stuff. The Walking Dead one was awesome. It had like Glenn and, what's his name, Daryl and, you know.
Daryl, yeah, right.
Yeah, Norman Reedus, yeah. And so
I heard that Rick has left The Walking Dead, actually.
Really?
Huh? Yeah. He's like the main character.
Yeah, that's weird.
You don't know anything about it, do you?
I don't know him leaving because I'm like I'm in episode 3 of season 2.
Oh yeah, he's leaving.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Or
spoiler.
It doesn't happen yet, so he may stay.
We'll see.
No.
Yeah, but
Merle's dead. No.
Is Merle?
I don't know.
I thought he was dead in the first season.
I know, right? His hand got cut off. I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Because it's 2013.
2013.
Almost were being assholes. Caught yourself before you
caught myself. Thank you again for all the cards and letters.
But again, thank you very much to Bret Hart and Edge and to fake DDP.
I'd like to thank DDP, Bret Hart, and Edge for they all actually individually sent me letters to say, Addy, thank you for not being an asshole.
Really? That's good of them. And we'll try and set
well,
up.
Well,
if you guys let us know if you'd like
see,
actually
Brett
hearing.
Brett said, thank you for not being an asshole. So.
And how did Bruce say it?
Huh? Well, Bruce called me a Jap, and I thought that was weird at first. And then I called him, and he just said that was my nickname. I don't know.
Yeah. When I wrestled.
That was one of the things that they said was it was this walk for the kid's help phone, and I didn't realize that I was a zombie.
Yeah.
It said, welcome kid help phone walkers. And I'm like, I didn't know I was a zombie.
All right, let's, we got plugs. We're on Stitcher.
No, we haven't even talked about Barbed Wire City.
Holy shit. Okay,
I know.
Let's do it really quick because it's, I gotta get tired of work in the morning.
Yeah, you do. Barbed Wire City. What did you think about Barbed Wire City? Well, you talking about my dogging. What were your thoughts about Barbed Wire City?
Yeah, we just watched the Barbed Wire City documentary, and for about the first 10 minutes, it's really boring. I'm like, Jesus Christ, we're not going to make it too far in this. We're going to go record. And then it just really got fascinating as hell. Now, this has got to be, if you include I think this is the fourth documentary on ECW I've seen. Because there's the one WWE produced. Of course, there was a Hardcore Revolution, I think it was
Forever
called.
Forever Hardcore.
Or Forever Hardcore. Sorry, Hardcore Revolution was the name of the event. Yeah, Forever Hardcore. There's also the one Beyond the Mat, of course, had a lot of ECW.
Yeah, I think
there.
That's probably the third. Yeah, so this
yeah,
is the
so,
fourth,
I mean, this
yeah.
will be the fourth one that I... So, I mean, I feel like you're not going to see anything new. And there was a lot of new stuff for me in there. It was really well done, really well put together. Really fascinating, though. I mean, The documentary, I think, tried to be even-handed, but even then, I think it glorified a bit of the violence, and certainly a lot of the guys still view the violence. And I'm talking the chair shots and things that we know are dangerous too much. The same thing, like, when I watched the DVD. I'm going to get the DVD for the Mick Foley one, but when you watch the commercial, it shows him getting chair shots in the head.
Yeah.
It shows the stuff that they aren't allowed to do anymore. And again, it's like, that's what they're showing. Instead of showing him holding the title and being happy or...
Being the commissioner,
or even dancing with Dude Love. These are all highlights, too. Instead of showing him taking a chair shot from the Rock to the head, and the thumbtacks, and the stuff that necessarily I'm not sure that you need to...
For Foley?
It needs to be in the DVD.
Yeah.
Does it need to be in the commercial for the DVD?
I think for Foley, even hitting being over the head at the Royal Rumble type thing, pick me, Steve. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just equally in terms of character development.
Yeah, exactly.
But with the ECW deal, I think you're right. They glorified it.
So many of the guys glorify it that it comes
they
across
do.
That way.
But I think
I don't think the documentary tried to do that. And they did try and provide an opposite. Unfortunately, the opposite of both people
did
by idiots like Dave, like Wade Keller, right?
Who?
Wade fucking Keller.
Oh, is that
remember
the...
Him?
You know what? I'm drinking a beer. Yeah, and this bear here has a bigger neck than this beer.
His neck is. He looks like olive oil. That freak.
Yeah, nothing I said there made any sense to it.
No, not at all. You've had many of those beers. But really, it's time to end this before you say something that's going to cost us after edit all.
Right,
the show.
That's true.
Like you.
Fuck you, Wade Keller. What?
No, not that. That no. We agree with.
What color is he? He's wearing a purple shirt.
Yeah. And then there was also the guy with the shirt.
Oh, fucking Mike Johnson. Well, but you know what? Mike Johnson's always been, from PW Insider, it's a great site. I mean, Dave Scherer and Mike Epstein-Hart and all those guys at PW, they do a great job.
Bruce Mizzard does a great job on the PW Insider.
But
Tour.
The thing is, with the PW Insider, though, with PW, they are born and bred out of ECW.
Yeah.
Like, Dave Scherer, the wrestling lariat, and Mike Johnson, and they all did OneWrestling.com that was owned by Joey Styles and Bob Ryder and stuff. But that was all...
That,
well, now he is, but
yeah,
he wasn't before.
He wasn't before.
And Buck, they all grew up doing... Or not grew up, but they all did the ECW thing. So they were ECW... Mike Johnson is an ECW mark. I mean, he does some great interviews and he does some stuff, but he's an ECW mark.
Absolutely.
I mean, and... there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that if you're going to interview him, you got to know that. And I think, but he did, even his part was fairly balanced. I would say, though, that there were probably in the CCW Barbed Wire City too many, like, Meltzers and Keltlers and
yeah,
Mitchell.
So.
You know
he
what I mean? It,
it
seemed like it was all, Ruffler, you know.
A lot
yeah.
of the same Rufflers over and over again.
But that's
but again,
I was fine. I was fine with, like, the fact that, like, Balls Mahoney was interviewed in, like, whatever, 2002 and then, like,
yeah,
2012.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean?
There was a lot of stuff that was like when Balls Mahoney in 2001, he's being interviewed, and he's asking them what type of bankruptcy they didn't
yes,
file for because
so.
He didn't know. And you could see him.
No, it wasn't that he didn't know. He was trying to spin it. And, like, Chapter 11, he's like, that's restructuring.
Yeah.
He's like, I know stuff that you don't know that I can't tell you. But
yeah, yeah. Well, it was partly that I think he wanted to believe that, and partly that he was trying to spin it.
I think it's that he all wanted to believe it and wanted to spin what he believed.
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
That's it, kind of like you look back on it.
But he even said, you know, he ate, bled, shit, everything for ECW, like when they interviewed him 10 years later or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And,
these guys say that this was the best time of my life, and I'm like, so that 10 years of your life, it's going to make the rest of your life, the next 30 years or whatever you make. Hell, is it worth it? I don't think it is, but these guys do it. I do recommend the documentary Barbed Wire. I think everybody should purchase it.
We talked about it a couple times.
It was interesting, new information, well put together. Just needs to get back to the first few minutes.
What did Sandman say? And they're like, he's lying, or he's not telling the truth. I'm like, no, he's telling the truth, but he's missing the point. We talk about there's a lot more. Danger. They're talking about me being extreme and shutting us down and being extreme
yeah,
and blah, blah, blah.
How bad are chair shots and how bad is the violence? But meanwhile, in the world, there's all this other violence and there's those people dying
yeah.
and people starving and they're really making a big issue out of this. And it's like, you're an idiot because you're missing the point. Like, those things can be bad and that doesn't make your thing not bad.
A chair shot can hurt or kill one person. And a bomb can hurt or kill 1,000 people or 100 people.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you swinging your chair isn't hurting one person. And that's the point. And the reality, the point that people were going up against him and making, it is the fact that, again, so when you talk about society, same with UFC, is that society and such, when ECW mid-90s, the economy, the North America, we're just fucking just going. Like,
yeah.
Everything was going. Like, no one could do anything wrong. So, there's something wrong over here. We got to point out. Well, now it comes down to even 2008. There's way bigger problems than
yeah.
what a fucking wrestling company or what a fucking any company. So, they can key in on that. But ECW was a victim of the fact that things were doing so good that people could actually point their fingers at that and go, yeah, but. It ain't perfect.
The same thing. The fans are very much in that documentary they put over as being great. You know what? They were really great to the product and how
passionate.
Much they supported it.
Yeah.
Passionate. But on the other hand, they also were getting the guys to do. They were constantly cheering and they were hard on the performers. You chanting, you fucked up. They were always looking for them to go to the next level extreme, do something more violent, more dangerous to themselves, and pushing them on that way. So, I mean, I don't think that's necessarily a positive in that way. Again, I think at the end of the day, it kind of glorifies ECW a little bit too much, but a very good documentary. I recommend it. I would give it, out of 10, I'd give it a 7.5.
See, I didn't think it glorified them too much.
I think it does just because there's what they're trying to do. I think that's just the footage they ended up with.
No, I think it... I think ECW. I think ECW. To me, it drove the point home. Is it ECW? I don't know that it necessarily deserved to be glorified, but the people that believed in it, like I told you, it's like kind of like punk rock when we were watching. I'm like punk rock. They're fans. Not a lot of them. Not as many of them. But they're passionate.
Yeah.
And these people believed in ECW. Were there? We talked about. I said were there. 10,000. There's 6 billion people in the world.
They felt like they're a part of it, and they felt and
they were,
they believed,
but it was, it
and
wasn't,
they were, yeah, they, and they believed in the anti-establishment thing. It was something that they needed to.
It was
that
we saw the picture of Doink the Clown wrestling Kamala.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
And it was, but that's what wrestling was.
Yeah,
you know, and the USS Intrepid and blah blah. I mean, wrestling sucked in the mid-90s.
Yeah,
you know, and so you could have this ECW, you could have this thing. And This was a wrestling...
Oh, yeah, 94, 95.
But if you,
other than Bret and Owen and a couple other, you know, Shawn Michaels, a few other highlights, it was way
yeah.
worse than that.
But if we lived in that day, and we would go. You
well,
and I would have gone to ECW, and we would have been swept up in ECW, and we would have loved ECW.
But the actual, I think it is Hardcore Revolution, the new promotion that Shane Douglas opened up. It
well, Extreme Rising, yeah.
Extreme Rising. And it doesn't come across too well, and kind of drives home the point of where it is now. It's better to just let it rest.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
kinda,
and that's really what the whole.
And the same thing with Stampede Wrestling here. They tried to bring back the Heart Legacy Wrestling to the AAA Canada. Truthfully, they fucked it up, much like Douglas did here. Better to just let it rest.
Really, there's a lot of parallels you can make with Shane Douglas and Teddy Hart.
Yeah.
But I mean. No, and that's what it is.
I walked by at Brett's table later in that day there, and he's sitting there talking to, what is his name, Sean DeMarc DiCarlo, or what the hell?
Oh, the Shark DeMarc, or whatever.
Yeah,
Mark DeShark.
Teddy Hart with his fucking cat, and I'm like, you're just such a loser. You're nobody, dude. He acts like he's somebody, and that's part of the reason why he comes, like, to people he is somebody, because he acts like it, but you're nobody. Just looking there with your
Oh,
cat,
God, no, yeah, you're just a fucking, Mizark.
Anyways, I really need to get out of here. So we're on Stitcher. You can reach us. We're WeTalkWrestling.com. We are on Podomatic, but you can also get the shows from WeTalkWrestling.com. That's the easiest place. We're on iTunes as well. Please rate us or leave a comment. That's much appreciated. Makes us more visible to people, which is something we're looking for.
Why would you want them to violate us?
same thing.
Oh, rate us.
Also on Facebook. And if we're on Facebook, please like us. Again, just to raise the visibility.
How could you not like this guy?
And finally, you know what? We're Twitter. We're at WeTalkWrestling. Feel free and leave us a comment. Follow us. We're tweeting out different stuff.
Rape us.
Some fun. You can do that as well. Addy would like you to rape him. And if you want to set up an opportunity to rape him, you can email us at Addy, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com.
WeTalkRapist.com.
W-R-O-U-T, unless you have something else to say.
No, that's going to do it. So in the meantime, and motherfucking between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks, and God bless, and never forget Owen Hart. Good night, folks.